Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE on the occasion of the publishing of the business results for the third quarter 2016. For your information, this conference will be taped. At this point, I would like to hand over to Dr. Dieter Wimmer. Thank you very much and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to be welcoming you to the press conference on the third quarter of Allianz Group. We will have 45 minutes time, so I suggest that we will use that I will use the analyst presentation and go through some highlights for 10-15 minutes, and afterwards we will directly enter into the round of questions and answers. So let's start with the overall result on page 3. The operating profit, 2.9 billion in the third quarter, an increase across all areas, and the increase in life health is the most significant, of course, but also in P&C business and the slight plus in asset management are very positive, and I'll go into more detail on the individual segments in a few minutes. The good operating result in combination with realized gains and hardly any impairments and a good tax ratio then leads to 1.9 billion net income for our shareholders, and our growth with 0.5% at the first glance looks quite minimal, but if we add currency effects to that, we have an internal growth of 1.7%, and you will see that in life and in our P&C business, we're on a good growth path and against a relatively flat economic development in our environment. I'll then continue on page 5. Shareholders' equity has continued to grow. So we have retained earnings on the one hand side growing, and the unrealized gains also in fixed interest rate securities and stocks that contributed to that. So in spite of the weakening of the interest rate curve at the end of September, we still we had another low point of the euro swap curve, but nevertheless we kept solvency at 186%. I would now like to get into the segments, and you can read the details of the new yourselves, and I'll continue on page 9. Growth in our important P&C business, 3.1% internal growth. Half of this was due to price effects, half of it due to volume effects. And many people are always concerned that the market would weaken, but if I look at our detailed figures, we can see that we have price reductions in Italy and in AGCS. All other organizations still report positive price trends, even though in individual countries it has weakened compared to the more positive trend before that, but nevertheless, we're on a very good path in this regard, which then leads on page 11 to a very good result when it comes to operating profit, 1.4 billion for the P&C business in the third quarter. The underwriting result has clearly been improved, and then a combined ratio of 93.5 in the quarter. That is a very good result, which also supports us to reaching our annual results. There were some doubts after the second quarter where we had weaknesses in our combined ratio, but that is what we're in, a volatile business. And for me, the quality of the business in the second and third quarter are both on a high level, and that shows in general how strong our underwriting results are. And in the third quarter, we then had again a lower number of natural catastrophes, and that is why we came down to the 93.5, which simply adds to good average of the combined ratio over the year. Run-off ratio, 3%, that is below our average over the last 10 years. So if you take the average of the last 40 quarters, we have a run-off result of 3.5. So with 3%, we are slightly below that. And we're also below that run-off ratio, below the run-off ratio of the first half of the year. The investment income looks higher than in the previous year, but in this case, we have to distinguish between two effects: ongoing interest rate yields and what is volatility driven due to market developments. So the ongoing yield continues to go down. Interest rate income in P&C is parallel with the interest rate curve, so we cannot expect to see a different development there. But the positive part stems from the fact that 1 year ago we had currency losses, especially in emerging markets, and also some other movements of the markets, whereas now in the third quarter of 2016, everything went positive in this regard for us. So let us look quickly at the individual countries on page 13. The combined ratio, as said, overall 93.5. Not surprisingly, the large countries all made important contributions to that. And where we're seeing good improvements, even though we haven't reached our final goal, is Latin America, where we've come down to a combined ratio of 108. You have to say, if you have a 98% ratio in Europe and earn 1% of interest, that's not better or worse compared to 180% in Latin America when you have between 9 and 11% of interest. So that is basically the same profit margin. That is also something you need to bear in mind if you look at combined ratios and compare them just one to the other. Now the investment income in P&C, I'll leave that and we'll then move over to the next success story of the third quarter and the year as a whole. That's our new business strategy in life health. You can find this on page 17. The mix change has continued and it has continued to go into the right direction. In the capital efficient products, the two most prominent products of that are the new products we started in Germany and our fixed index annuity business in the United States. And taking Germany here in retail business, we've reached a share of 90% of these new products, and that of course adds to our success story here. In the US, we've seen excellent, or we saw excellent sales figures in the third quarter. So I have to say here everything is right on track, and we've also seen positive developments in other smaller countries. In Switzerland, the product is called Balance Invest. In Belgium, Invest for Life. In Austria, Fixkosten Plus. These are all products we bring to the markets to increase our ratio of capital efficient product, offering more return for the customer and less capital burden for us, and we've improved that. Now we have new business volume 8% plus, so when 2.8% plus, so when in the first use of the restructuring, we reduced classical business, and that led to the introduction of this mix change. Now we've started to grow in volume again. 8% plus in new business volume is, I believe, a good sign and shows that products are being well accepted. On the next page, you can then see the operating profit in life health. A very positive 1,129 million euros. Part of the increase is due to the to giving up the negative contribution of Korea, which affected our the last quarter of last year, where we had 150 million minus. So that adds to the positive upswing. Then the investment margin has increased furthermore, and those were the main contributors here. So is that something that's sustainable? Well, I have to say in the third quarter, already in the P&C business, I mentioned that the financial market positions were positive for the profit and loss calculations of the insurer. This is even more the case in Life Health. Derivatives brought positive contributions across the board. In the U.S., we still do have some volatilities in the results, from the variable annuity book, which was closed years ago, and that volatility was to our benefit in the third quarter, whereas in the first quarter it had led to a larger loss. So that balances itself across the quarters. But nevertheless, I'd say if I try to normalize market development and all that, I would say that the operating profit in Life, I would have seen it at 950 million. That's nevertheless very good if you have a quarter where volatilities have a positive effect for you, because no one can take away this money from you. Page 21 shows that the new business margin was at 2.8% in spite of the extremely low interest rates. We've maintained a very good new business margin. The new business also looks good. I mentioned that before. And then I would like to switch to asset management next up on page 25. The most important points to mention are PIMCO had 4.7 billion positive net flows and AGI 1.5 billion. So we had six billion net inflows in the third quarter. The market development also supported us when it comes to the assets under management in the third quarter. FX impact slightly negative due to the slightly weaker dollar, so that we also had a positive development in the third-party assets under management for the third quarter. So the statement I had repeatedly made over the last quarters that PIMCO would have positive inflows and positive flows in the second half of the year. As you can see, we've been on track here. The October figures were also positive. Of course, the year hasn't ended yet, but at PIMCO, over the last few months, we've also issued two private funds very successfully, and with the private funds, it says in private equity, you get the commitment of the investors, but as an AUM, it will only be recognized once the payments will be called from the investor. So the inflow then is created over 18 or 24 months, but nevertheless you know that it will be coming. So these are beautiful developments, and we're quite optimistic that also towards the end of the year we will be able to stick to our promise and to really turn this into reality. I would like to come to the operating result in asset management now on page 29. The operating profit is a little bit stronger than compared to the previous year. So the reduction of asset management revenues has been was stopped in this quarter. We now have a better cost situation, which of course also includes in part that the provisions for the retention plan at PIMCO could be taken out. So that was in the second quarter 2016. We had the last tranche for that, so that's no longer included. And we also have a good we've returned to a good level of performance fees. Just to remind you, last year we had a relatively high degree of performance fees because the Bravo One fund ended and then closed funds. Then there are the pro rata performance fees being paid according to performance. Cost income ratio, 57.5%. AGI, I don't want to forget this, large increase from 64 to 67.3 operating profit. 154 million is a great, that was a great performance by AGI, which of course also helped us to get beyond the 600 million in the third quarter of 2016. Well, then the corporate segment next up. Well, that's pretty much business as usual. Nothing very special to report. And on the last page then you see the translation of operating profit into net income on page 33. You can see realized gains in the third quarter, 226 million, slightly higher impairments, or slightly higher rather, impairments very low, and the other positions pretty much in the normal ranges, so that overall we have a shareholders' net income of 1.855 billion, which is a plus of close to 500 million, or in percentage is 36.5%. And that means that we stick to our outlook. The outlook for the year remains unchanged. I believe that with the third quarter, we've taken an important and positive step ahead to reach the outlook for the year of 10.5 billion euros operating profit. And with this, I would like to end my introduction and give you room for your questions. Thank you very much, Dr. Wemmer. In case you want to ask a question, please press asterisk and the number one key on your phone. Please make sure that the mute function has been deactivated so that your signal can reach our devices. While you ask your question, your line will be permanently open and will only be muted once we get to the next question. In case you realize your question has already been answered, you can withdraw it by pressing asterisk 2. So once again, star 1 for asking a question, and we'll wait a short moment to give all the participants the option to signal their questions. And then we come to the first question of today by Michael Flemick of Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning, Mr. Wemmer. I have three questions on today's figures. First of all, the forecast, then the contribution of the new life insurance, especially the German one, and then the geopolitical situation, especially looking at Turkey. The forecast for Mr. Bethe was convinced that we have of the half year that the middle point of the forecast could be reached. Can you confirm this, or do you think that there could be a higher degree that could be reached? And could you tell us a bit about the mechanics? Are there any fees in asset management driving that? Then contribution in German life insurance contribution. The premiums increased by 20%. So do you go back to one-off business underwriting? And the third question on the geopolitical situation, probably you can't tell that much about the United States, but looking at Turkey, the Allianz usually also acts according to ESG standards, but Allianz is an important driver in the P&C business, so will Allianz also have to position itself in a country like that if political framework conditions change? What you do there, and then maybe just a short add-on to South Korea to clarify this. Are you on track of selling the business, and can we expect the sale over the remainder of the year? These are my questions. Okay, so thank you very much, Mr. Flemick. And the forecast center point, those are the 10.5 billion. That is the figure we keep and maintain as the forecast for the end of the year? Will it get a little bit better? Well, I mean, we are in a volatile business, and the last 100, 200 million, I cannot promise them at any time. It can go up, can go down. There's always a little bit of movement involved. A small part of performance fees from asset management have been planned into our figures, but that is a remainder of the Bravo Fund. So the performance fees are quite set here. Those were 7 or 8 year investments in which performance then is defined based on the sale price for the investors, and those are the, I mean, transactions in the private area. These are not exchange traded elements, so there are no major daily changes, and therefore I assume the part of the performance fees, it can be stably, can be foreseen quite clearly. Contributions in life, health in Germany, I tried to hint at that in my short summary, but let me repeat the core facts here. Yes, also the one-off business has started to grow again in Germany, but it is growing in the products such as Perspektive and Dynamic Invest and Comfort. These are the elements we're growing in, and those make up 90% of the business. So in the last year, especially with with large customers and also retail, this is the classic one-off business. We had a rather cautious approach to that over the last few years because the classic one-off business under Solvency II requirements and in view of the interest rate situation in Europe that we've had for years, and even though over the last 4 days interest rates have increased by 30 base points, nevertheless the classic product has a guarantee this year of 1.2%, and in the old calculation of the German life insurance industry, that would mean a 10-year bond interest rate of at least 1.8, and we're far away from that, of course. Okay, next up, the Turkey question. Well, the geopolitical developments, I think what we can safely say is that it is extremely complicated. This is not just about the democracy in the country, but also the conflicts and conflict situations around Turkey. And Turkey, I think, has very unquiet neighbors, if you wish, in all directions. And therefore, I believe that Turkey is an important partner within NATO and also needs NATO in its environment. And therefore, I believe that the West also should take care of stable relationships to Turkey, and I think that would help to alleviate the whole situation, and this is how we also see this with our business. Now, business-wise, we're doing really well in Turkey. It is a country with a lot of dynamism and with many ups and downs, and I believe that we're still convinced that it was a good decision to become the market leader in Turkey. Now, South Korea is still on track, so the sale could be finalized over the course of this year, but unfortunately I can't always look into the heads of all the decision-making authorities of all those who are involved here, so I can't exactly tell you what needs to happen. that they will sign all the papers. We've delivered all of them. Everything seems complete. So from my point of view, it could already been done, but unfortunately, no one seems to listen to me. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wimmer. Then we come to the next question by Oliver Seuss of Bloomberg. Good morning, Mr. Wimmer. Thank you very much. I'd be interested in what you could tell us something. At the beginning of the year, you said you expect that the unused budget for external growth at the end of the year would be at around 3 billion. Is this still the case, approximately? And then, as PIMCO seems to be doing better now, has net inflows for the first time, do you have any goals for PIMCO for next year already? And then three smaller parts. Could you say something about the sale of OLB? This is then doing, and then Hita, what kind of profit do you expect? And then Hurricane Matthew, was that of any importance to Allianz? Mr. Seuss, that's a whole list of questions. Well, let's see. Okay, the unused M&A budget, that is a good 2.5 billion, and we're stable with our we stand by what we've said. So either over the next few weeks there will be an acquisition or there will be a share buyback, as we had announced. This will be announced with the annual result at the latest. Then PIMCO, I think, came out very strong out of all the changes, and ever since Mr. Bernanke had announced that interest rates would rise, that was in the May 3 years ago, I believe, ever since we had outflows, and I think the platform and the PIMCO platform and franchise is really recognized by the customers. What we're seeing now is the recognition and of this quality of PIMCO. Can I directly translate this into annual goals for 2017? Well, last week our new CEO at PIMCO, Manny Roman, started his job, and I think we should leave him a little more time than just haven't had time to put his things on the desk. And we now want him to give him the opportunity to take a closer look at the company and its options, and then we'll intensively discuss the future of PIMCO with him. You had also asked about OLB. I mean, I would never comment anything if there was a process of this nature. You wouldn't get an answer from me, and if there is none, you would neither get an answer. Then Hita, well, just like the other investors, we've accepted the compromise and have written it down according to standard accounting rules. If you have the write-off of a share, it remains as long as you have it in the book, in your books. With bonds, there are other rules, and if the reason for an impairment has been withdrawn, then you have to write up the bond. And Hurricane Matthew had only a minuscule effect on us, but that's all. That was also in October, so we'll report on this later on, but it was around 20 million, and we don't expect more than that. There was the excitement. I mean, in the 24 hours before, we were on track for 300 million, but then it was less. So did that also answer all your questions, Mr. Seuss? Yes, thank you very much.
Now from DPA FX6, we have Chicken Wire in the line. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Wimmer. Just a little more. Mr. Seuss has covered basically everything. So the 20 million it was, Matthew, that's euro or dollar? But that amount, 20 million, both is right, whether dollar or euro. So further to the claims in Q3, you see low level of net cats and man-made large damages. What was the biggest claim, and to what extent is the earthquake relevant for you? In general, it's 10 million, 13 million, and I thought it was more for Generali because of the earthquake. And related to the U.S., to what extent does the influence of Mr. Trump possibly have an influence on the business of Allianz? What is important? What are your considerations? What are the possible scenarios that you have in mind? And making sure that you're properly represented there. Interesting question. So you found some more, what Mr. Seuss hasn't asked yet. The earthquake in Italy cost us 1.5 million euros in September. So we have to wait and see what's going to happen with the two follow-up earthquakes in October. But it's too bad. Although this region is deemed and being exposed to the earthquake, and everyone knows, then the purchase of earthquake coverage for the houses is nothing common over there. So whenever claims occur in the wake of earthquakes, that's basically, it is mostly for business interruptions, right? And in that region, we did not have many business customers. I don't even know whether there are so many anyway that would have been affected. It's rather a private and private and public administration and small businesses in there. The major event in third quarter were the floods in Louisiana. But it's a relatively small amount. It was just the biggest event in the third quarter. And the U.S., well, it's a bit too early to say what is going to happen. Well, the only thing you can do is analyzing and interpreting what's going on in what was going on the financial markets for the past 2 days. Well, looking at the interest development in the U.S., actually can see during the past 2 months, interest rates have gone up a bit more. The curves have become steeper. That means if you look at the 10 to 2 years interest, if you look at that difference, since September it's going up. And you might expect that this might continue, because if the stimulus of growth comes through taxes and less through the monetary policy of the Fed, that means changing from monetary policy to fiscal stimulus, then most likely there will be more inflation and higher interest rates, which is quite relevant for life insurance business, positively speaking. And the other point is, I personally believe that whenever you have changes like that, when the interest turn around and go up, then the active fixed income manager is much more preferred over the passive fixed income manager. But that's a matter of belief, and if you call the other big company in the U.S., we'll talk about the opposite. And then we will have to wait and see. I mean, everyone expects that the regulation curve comes to a stop, or it might even be turned down, that there will be less regulation. And that is a topic that you start reading in the press. Well, whether that's just a hope of the industry, where we also suffer under new regulations that are being put onto the market every day, or whether it's reality, that is what we're going to see in the next few quarters. But you're not changing anything fundamentally, or you're prepared and prepared that Mr. Trump says we don't want to have any insurers from other countries. So wherever we are domestic. We are not a foreign insurer. We are a highly established, large entity, life insurance in Minnesota. And for several times in a row, we were the employer of the year in Minnesota. And we are as American as we can be with our business. And PIMCO is a U.S. firm. No one would call them a foreigner. Thank you. The next question comes from Madeleine Nissen from Wall Street Journal. Yes, good morning. I find your statements and what Mr. Bethe said after the Trump election said is rather confident. Did you support Mr. Trump in the elections? And I would also like to know whether you would have to reckon with lumping figures because of the protectionism to be expected in the U.S. And I would like to know also, what is the share of the U.S. in the overall business? Mrs. Nissen, you know, supporting the federal elections is forbidden. It's really prohibited. And that's why we basically comply with these rules. May I just ask? No, I meant I would like donations. Deutsche Bank, the Wall Street Journal wrote, legally, money was donated. It's not forbidden to make no donations. I meant it like this. No, for corporations, it's forbidden. What many companies do is that their employees start with the donation funds where individual employees and can be like set their dollars either for red or for blue, and then companies organize these collections. But it's always the employees. It's not coming from the companies. And in many companies, employees make donations, but Allianz does not make any donations, neither to the one nor to the other color. And also, did you have these donation funds in Allianz? I'm not sure. I don't know whether there were locations in the local office, but most likely, since our company, like I said before, is purely American in Minneapolis, and since this is quite common in any company, that every employee could be committed in the way they want, I would probably think that we did that as well. But it's not that we choose one particular party. I couldn't even tell you who received more money. That is not part of my ongoing information. And the U.S., well, 30% of our operating profit comes from the U.S., 30 to 35%, largely depending on the FX exchange, dollar-euro. Like I said before, PIMCO and Allianz Life are purely American companies. So protectionism, I mean, we are not exporting, we're not importing, we're producing our goods locally, if you mean that. If you would like to compare with the industry. So you wouldn't expect any negative effects in this respect. I was a bit astonished, and before, with a view to the interest development, you said that you're rather confident as a first reaction, I heard that after Trump's victory, you would assume that the Federal Reserve would wait longer, which is even bad for insurers. It could be, but when you talk about tax stimulus, then based on traditional conclusions, you rather cause inflation through tax stimuli, and this could happen here, which does not mean that in 6 weeks interest would be higher. That was just a general forecast for the next 12 months. And I just talked about the US. So what that means for the European interest is a more complicated thing. That could mean that the distance is the same between 10 years Europe and US, but it could also mean that we will see a bigger difference between the US and Europe. So I'd rather be open in this respect. Thank you very much. Mirko Reitger from Wirtschaftspresse. Yes, good morning. This is Plato Brief. I have two more questions, Mr. Wimmer. First of all, you mentioned that there are considerations to sell certain old contracts in Europe. Have you made progress on that in selling old contracts in Europe? And my other question relates to the M&A pool that you still have. Are you currently searching for new possible acquisition items? And if so, I can remember one statement that you mentioned asset managers in Europe. Thank you very much. Right, okay. We have not got any, we didn't sell any life business portfolios in Europe, and I think I've said about it a half year that we're actually feel very comfortable with our Asian transactions and that we are on track in the implementation, the execution of our life targets. In M&A, so we have like weekly talks, I'd say. And since we are working globally, and since we have broad interest in asset management and insurance business, of course there are a lot of things which might be interesting for us. But the M&A market is not particularly active. And that's why it is not that easy to find something suitable at a reasonable price. So you would go to a share buyback. Well, if there is no further acquisitions, yeah, that might be the case. Thank you very much. Since we're running out of time, probably just like to say one or two colleagues. Who's the next one? Herbert Fromme from Süddeutsche Zeitung. Mr. Fromme, your line is open. Yes, good morning. Can you hear me? The strong decline in Great Britain, is that currency and why P&C in Italy is going down? Is there any figure or any approach with regard to the budget for the digitalization that Allianz is spending? And the third question, in your competitors, you see that there are evident difficulties with the bottom line business of the heavy industries. And I see good figures in HCS. Have you been detached from that, or do the other HCS figures come from other markets? Well, good, good. UK is both. First of all, we have included the direct business We have stopped discontinued the direct business in motor. Yes, of course, there are FX exchange related issues, and we have a quota agreement, and next year we're going to have the full gross premium to be shown. But it's basically due to exchange rate and direct. But also in commercial business, we were underwriting a bit more carefully in order to maintain price stability. Well, as regards Italy, the pressure onto the motor insurance premiums keeps on going on, and we still continue to have negative developments of the premiums in Italy. But I find the combined ratio still is quite strong. If all countries would look like Italy, I would not complain. Further to the digitalization budget, well, we're not pursuing this in this manner because under the bottom line, this is part of the projects and IT budget. So it's not that you always tick each IT project as digital change. No, we do qualitative digitalization, and we also have the big measures, but I do not translate that into euros, so in any budget. So I also see no major benefit for the digital transformation, because the IT budgets have to be managed, and we also have to manage the resources allocated to project management, and once the digital transformation questions have been fully satisfied, the others are still working on the old applications that still have to be maintained. We cannot discontinue work there. Well, key account business. Well, it has become somewhat more difficult, and it's no longer that easy. But we're still coming from a very good level. As regards the country mix, I can't say whether we have a different mix. But in our business, we also see the specialty business. Aviation and marine, of course, are strongly represented there, and that's where in both KM areas we have better combined ratios than we had last year. But aviation is volatile anyway, and last year was not a good year for aviation, as you can remember. Thank you. Thank you so much. These were the main points. Yeah, one more is okay. Ulrike Dauer from Dow Jones, Wall Street Journal. Yeah, good morning. Basically, the question has been done already. I just would like to get your sentiment, Mr. Wimmer, on PIMCO. Is it like all clear, or I rather felt that you rather wait until year end? Would you still say that breakthrough was done and now the only way is up, or what is your current sentiment? Sentiment among employees, and the feeling is very positive. And there's no doubt this means monthly figures go up every month? No, I don't believe so. And we mentioned this already several times. There will be a major political change in the U.S. And will major accounts change their asset allocation? I can't say the individual effects and how the different customers would analyze the situation within the next 6 weeks. But that does not change anything in the quality rendered of the work of the work rendered by PIMCO and the sentiment, and definitely there is quite an active mood in PIMCO. Thank you very much. So I wish everyone a nice Friday afternoon and have a nice weekend. Thank you. Here we are close our today's conference, and you can interrupt your lines. Thank you.